The Free Congregation of Sauk County is a Unitarian Universalist fellowship and a welcoming congregation. This means our invitation is to all, and that all are welcome here regardless of race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, gender expression, or political persuasion. You're welcome. So today we light the candle. Light the candle in honor of the burning flame of love that warms us and sometimes scars us, but without which the world would feel very cold and dark indeed. A reading from St. Hadaway of Trinidad. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. What is love? Yeah. No, I don't know why you're not fair. I give you my love, but you don't care. So what is right? What is wrong? Give me a sign. I don't know. What can I do? What else can I say? It's up to you. I know we're one, just me and you. I can't go on. What is love? Oh, baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. What is love? Whoa, 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 whoa. Uh-huh. What does it say about us that we use the exact same word for I love my mom, I love my spouse, and I love cheeseburgers? Brothers and sisters, you can do what you want. It's a free congregation. I am not your boss, but I do not recommend treating your mom like your lover. I do not recommend treating your lover like a cheeseburger. The ancient Greeks had fully 7 different words for love. Eros, romantic passion. Philia, authentic friendship. Ludus, playful flirtation. Storge, simple affection. Mania, ecstatic obsession. Pragma, committed companionship. And agape, universal empathy. 7 loves. It's a whole pile of loves. How do we keep track of that in our head in a way that's useful? Robert Sternberg, psychologist, came up with the triangle theory of love in the 80s, whereas my kids called it the late 1900s. According to Sternberg's framework, the 3 components of love are intimacy, passion, and commitment. Suppose your love is all passion, but no intimacy, no commitment. That's ludus. Some might say you're just playing games. You're just playing around like it's some kind of bad thing. There's nothing wrong with playing a game as long as both people know they're playing the game. There's only one rule, and that's make sure everybody agrees on the rules. You want to hear something insane? That concept, we didn't figure that out until like the last 20 years as a culture. You go back and look at any James Bond movie made before, I don't know, 20 years ago, James Bond does not understand consent. And we all watched those movies and said, pass the popcorn. We have come a long way to be able to say, you want to play? Go play. Just play fair. What if your love is all intimacy, but no passion and no commitment? Well, that's philia, like Philadelphia, brotherly love. You know this person deeply, they know you, which means you're free to be yourself with the other person. In the words of my best friend, Matt, you're an idiot, but you're my idiot. Or in the words of pretty much every well-loved teenager, I hate you. We don't freak out when they say it because we know what they mean. I trust you enough to be real about these emotions that are bigger than my chest and my brain doesn't have like a fully formed filter yet. So I hate you, philia. What if your love is 100% commitment, but no intimacy and no passion? I'm not trying to be mean, but isn't that marriage? I mean, this is the choice. This is the conscious decision to build a life together. To me, that screams pragma, as in pragmatic. A committed companionship, shared values and goals. Our culture has traditionally called that a empty marriage. That's bullshit. Over half our marriages end in divorce, including my first one. You know why? It's not because I settled for empty pragma. It's because I couldn't muster up the courage to claw my way up to pragma. Ask any American marriage counselor and they will tell you most marriages end because of unequal emotional labor and weaponized incompetence. That's not two people agreeing on shared values and shared goals. That's one person making the values the other person's responsibility, turning them into a nag, and then going off and doing whatever goals they want to do. That's not pragma. That's a roommate with delusions of standing. If all you've ever done in your life is shared a life with values and goals, built a life that you're proud of together, don't let anyone tell you that's empty. That's pragma, and it's beautiful. Now let's suppose you get 2 out of 3. You get passion and intimacy, but no commitment. Well, it can't be ludus anymore, because you actually know the person. You're not playing games. You're actually into this person. And it's not philia, because you're also attracted to them. Like, I love Matt, but if he tried to kiss me, we'd have words. Passion plus intimacy make eros. Might be an affair, might be a relationship. It's what we call romantic love, and we write songs about it like it's the most important thing in the world. Literally 100 million songs we've recorded. The only problem is it's unstable. Sooner or later, someone wants a little more or a little less, which is why out of those 100 million songs we recorded, well over half of them are sad. Passion and commitment, that's eros. Passion and commitment, but no intimacy, that's mania. The pulse-pounding attraction that we honor on Valentine's Day with pictures of an arrow through the heart. There's no choice here. You got shot. In the words of Sir William Thatcher from my favorite movie, It's a Knight's Tale, she is not the target. She's the arrow. Look at Romeo and Juliet. He sees her from across the room and says, quote, "Did my heart love till now? Forswear its sight, for I ne'er saw true beauty till this night." He does not know her name. He was mooning about an entirely different girl at the door of this party. He walks in, sees her across the room. One day later, they're married. Less than a week later, they're dead. And it's not even like a full week. It's a work week. That's mania. Intimacy and commitment, but no passion. That's storge. The kind of love you might have for your kids or your parents or a football team. It's okay if it's kind of one way. You don't mind if the kid gets angry or your parent goes senile or your football team gets stupid. You don't just like kill yourself. It's still love. It's just a cool, calm, and collected kind of love. It's storge. Which brings us to agape. Intimacy, commitment, and passion all at once. C.S. Lewis called it the love of God. Now, I don't believe in an old guy in the sky, but I do believe in agape, the kind of love that calls you to be your best self and to imagine more. The kind of love we admire when we see two elders teasing each other, both fully aware that each of them is in their own way a pain in the ass. But they're still clearly smitten. Do you imagine they spend every day like that? That little moment that you saw in the park where they were just too cute for words, is that every hour of every day? Do you imagine they lived their whole life like that? I was a preacher for 15 years. People told me the truth. It was not like that. Some days they had only one point in common. Some days it was just raw commitment. Some days it was just raw attraction. Some days it was just the intimacy of, like, I've known him for 60 years. Where else am I going to go? Some days they could balance 2 points, and some days they got to 3. And when they really worked at it and maybe got a little lucky, they got good at balancing 3. But on their best day, that balance is always work. And let me add one more, one we haven't discussed yet. It's called philautia. Can you hear the philautia? You hear the two subwords in there? Phil, like Philadelphia, so that's brotherly love. And autia, like automobile, that's yourself, right? So philautia is love of yourself, self-compassion. It's showing the same kindness and generosity you would show a friend or a child. It is fully possible to live an agape life and never be married. To never have a traditional relationship. But it's kind of hard to do if you hate yourself all the time. It's kind of hard to do if you constantly sacrifice yourself like that tree, over and over and over for people. To quote Simone de Beauvoir, authentic love must be founded on a reciprocal recognition of two freedoms. For each of them, love would be the revelation of the self through the gift of the self and the enrichment of the universe. The School of Life was founded by English philosopher Alain de Botton. He is an English philosopher, but he was born Swiss, so his name is French. So instead of Alain de Button, he's Alain de Botton, because French people don't finish their words. The School of Life gets one thing very, very right. We're all a little bit mad. Which means the secret to lasting love is not being your best. It's getting good at apologies and forgiveness and repair. If you brought your whole self, even the ugly bits, and it didn't work out, if you made space for their whole self, even the hard, difficult, frightening bits, and it didn't work out, it is perfectly okay to grieve over it. You deserve to grieve over that loss. Because what it means is you gave your all, and the other person wasn't ready to love you back. You can grieve over that. Don't you dare feel guilty about daring. St. Hadaway of Trinidad was right. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Love is courageous vulnerability. Sometimes it's passionate. Sometimes it's intimate. Sometimes it's committed, but it is always a risk. Any lover at all is a brave soul, because life means loss, and to love means to feel it. Thank you. I would say in our culture, absolutely, that our culture enculturates people to see themselves and each other differently. I don't necessarily believe that has a whole lot to do with your DNA. I think it has a lot more to do with how you were raised. You know, the difference between a man and a woman, like at a DNA level, how much difference is it? It's not as much as we pretend. No one was born wanting to drive a truck. No one's born pretending like driving a truck is the only thing a guy can do. That's all we learn. I wouldn't all. It's like, what do you call it? 99%? It's mostly stuff we learn. And because of that, the love that we as a culture express from a man's side and from a woman's side, because of that, it's different. But I don't think it's really rooted in anything other than culture. I think it's fair to say that for a certain portion of my life, I was being hardlined steroids against my will. It was just my brain was creating steroids. You think that doesn't impact your behavior? I think it does. I think it impacts my muscle mass. I think it impacts my bone density. I think that's the reason why we let people fight in different categories when they get in the ring. But what that difference means is like so much cultural baggage. But like, how do you understand that? How do you explain it? And what stories do you tell yourself around it? Because if the only difference is I happen to be like have a higher muscle mass and a higher muscle density, and maybe I'm a little bit quicker to anger. Like, okay, that's a very small story, but like I'm the guy that gets to drive the truck. Like, that's cultural baggage. There are sometimes advantages to being the person up front, and that means that I get to see things that you guys don't get to see. So when I told you the story about the couple on the park bench that are just too cute for words, okay, that's you two. Because when I got to the part about repair, she reached over and held his hand. That was adorable. It made me want to cry. I had to keep going, but you guys are great. Let's close our day by reviewing one more time that quote by Simone de Beauvoir. Authentic love must be founded on reciprocal recognition of two freedoms. For each of them, love would be the revelation of the self through the gift of the self and the enrichment of the universe. May you never settle for less than two full selves in communion.